All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. That's in the New Testament. And I'll begin reading in verse 7. All right, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I want you to go back to verse 14. I read all these verses to you, but verse 14 is where I want to take my text tonight. But I read all these verses to you so you will realize that James is giving us some little principles to basically help us deal with life. And there's a little statement made here in verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Now, I had planned on preaching another message tonight. And I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago, I started, I was reading the book of James. And I just turned around and kind of just put this message together, and was planning on fine-tuning it a little bit before I gave it to you. But the message that I was going to preach tonight on Absalom is it kind of had a Father's Day theme to it. It was kind of a challenge to fathers and sons, and I'll preach that one in the future, I'm sure, if the Lord tarries. And if the Lord comes back, then John, you go ahead and preach it if you would. I just wanted to wake him up. That's what I wanted to do. But tonight, the message tonight is you're going to have to listen, all right? It was real quiet. School's out, and it's so quiet around the office. It's wonderful. It was just kind of neat the way this whole thing came together. And rather than, you know, preach and fuss, I'm just going to talk to you tonight. And so I want you to listen. You have to make yourself listen. But let's look at that text again. He said in verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Today, we would phrase it this way. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You just don't know. All right, so the title of my sermon tonight, what is on for tomorrow? What is on for tomorrow? All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for today. What a blessed day this has been. And I pray now that as we look at the at this great little statement, this little phrase that is in this 14th verse, I ask for you to help me as I explain this and what's on my heart. And Lord, there's something here for everybody. So I pray that you'll help us all to give our best, pay attention, and just allow the Word of God to do something in our lives. Who knows, but what I might say something tonight that will change somebody's view or change somebody's perspective. It'll be something that the Holy Spirit can get a hold of in our lives and turn us in the right direction and just make a difference. So, Father, help us to hang on every word tonight. And I just pray for the power of God to be upon the message. Father, meet with us tonight. We need to hear from you. And so I pray that you will bless in a great way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. My text verse is the 14th verse. And when I read the question that I'm using as a text tonight, I wonder how many of us said, well, duh, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Well, duh, of course we don't. But yet, there are multitudes of people who are looking for some hope of some kind for the misery that is their lives. And they will give money, their hard-earned money, to people who say that they can see what tomorrow's going to bring. Now, my Bible says that we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Now, I've said this before, but just for emphasis' sake, ye in verse 14, that means y'all. Actually, it means all y'all. All right, the plural. Y'all is singular, all y'all's plural. Right? So, whereas ye, you, as an individual, you do not know what's going to be on tomorrow. That means nobody knows. These people that say they know what tomorrow holds, they cannot know what tomorrow holds. They don't have that ability. And yet all over the world, for as long as man has recorded history, there have been these charlatans who say that they can tell you what tomorrow will bring. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think would happen if we knew what tomorrow would bring? If we knew what tomorrow would bring, what do you think the result would be? Now, God could have easily given all of us the ability to know what tomorrow is going to bring. He could have made us that way. He very simply, very easily could have made us with that knowledge and with that ability. It would have been nothing incredible for God to have made us that way. But if he did, then where would faith fit into the picture? Right? Where would faith fit in our lives if we knew what tomorrow was going to bring? You say, well, why do you mention that? Because my Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. There are four times in the Bible where the Bible says the just shall live by faith. If we could somehow know what tomorrow would bring, we would know when the Lord is coming back and when his plan for the end times would begin. I was reading the other day, and this church historian said that since the days of the apostles, there have been those who believed that they knew the day and they announced the day when Christ was returning. So what Harold Camping has done in the last couple of years is nothing new. It's been going on since the Lord ascended to heaven. There have been those that have set dates and they've announced that he's coming, and then they were vastly disappointed because he did not come on the day that they assumed or that they said he was coming. And each time that a date has been set, that person who set the date has been proven a liar. No man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Things like earthquakes, Halley's Comet, hurricanes, cyclones, things like the periodic strange alignment of the planets, solar eclipses, all of these natural phenomena that happen in our world have for centuries, for millennia, caused men to think that the end was near. And yet, strangely, these things have never shown the slightest power to make men better or to turn them towards the Lord. Instead, what history has shown us and the evidence points out that when men think the end is near, the worst in them usually rises to the forefront. If you'll remember Belshazzar and the Babylonians in the book of Daniel, and they realized that they were surrounded by the Medes and the Persians, and yet instead of getting on their faces before the Lord and repenting of their sins, they and crying out for mercy, they blasphemed God by using the temple vessels that they had stolen and served their liquor in the vessels of the house of God. They weren't certain what tomorrow held, but they had a pretty good idea. And what did they do? They got drunk and they indulged in one final night of carnal lust before they met their end. Now, folks, listen, don't you laugh at the Bible because it denounces going to soothsayers and fortune tellers. God knows that these people are liars. God knows it. And you shouldn't spend one penny of your money on trying to find out what tomorrow's going to bring, because you are throwing your money down a rat hole, you can be sure. God knows the truth about these matters, and the truth is, we do not know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if tomorrow we're going to have a wonderful day and we're going to accomplish a great deal, or if we will tragically be killed in an accident. We just don't know that. None of us knows that. We don't know if the Lord will return tomorrow or if we're going to come down with a head cold tomorrow. We just don't know. We don't know if tomorrow is going to be just completely a normal day. None of us knows that. We just don't know what another day will bring forth. So I started thinking, what if the world could know what tomorrow will bring? What if you and I could know that? Well, I think life would become practically unlivable if we knew what tomorrow holds. If we knew what tomorrow was going to be like, I think there would be some things that we as human beings would lose. we'd lose a couple of things. And I want to give you three or four things tonight that I think if we knew what tomorrow was going to bring, we would lose these things in our lives that we hold very dear when you stop and think about it. Number one, we would lose the element of surprise. If we knew what tomorrow was going to bring, when it happened, we wouldn't be surprised by it, would we? And I wonder if any of us fully realize how deep our debt is to the unexpected. I question whether any man could live his life if he was robbed of the power to surprise him. If we could know what lies ahead, our will to live just might be threatened. I get asked all the time by younger preachers, and they'll ask me all the time, say, brother, would you like to go back and start all over again? And I've always said, well, if I could go back knowing what I know now, I would. But I wouldn't want to go back and make the same dumb mistakes all over again, would you? Of course not. If I could know what I know now, I just might take you up on that. But folks ask that question all the time. And when that question is asked, almost always the answer is a definite, oh, no, I don't want to go back and do it all over again. I've talked to a lot of folks in their 70s and 80s, and I've asked them through the years, would you like to go back and do it all over again? And they'll give me a glare, no. No. But if you're honest, it's not because you have not had a happy life. It's you don't want to, you say, oh, I don't want to go do it over again. Not because you've not had a happy life. The happiness you have enjoyed in life has been much greater than the sorrow. Be honest about that. Yet deep down in your heart, deep down in your answer of no, is the thought that I'm trying to express tonight. You see, there is the thought that life is bearable when every tomorrow is covered with a veil that keeps us from knowing what's coming. Let me say that again. I know I thought I'm going to lose half of them right here. Let me say, listen now, make yourself think. There is the thought that life was bearable when every tomorrow was covered with a veil that kept you from knowing what was coming. But to repeat it all over again with the daily certainty of knowing what was coming would not be something that you'd be interested in doing. Each and every sorrow would be doubly bitter because we already knew that sorrow was coming. Each joy would lose its punch because we knew that it was coming. And I think this is why childhood, in most cases, is much happier than adulthood. I really do. I think that's why children are so carefree and so happy. It isn't merely that adult life is fuller, although that might have something to do with why it's so, but I think it is because in childhood, everything is new. Everything. Every experience is just a whole new world. Every window we look through seems to just be open to the infinite. And every day that breaks is alive with a whole world of possibility. Oh, to be a child. But you know, we don't realize that when we're children, do we? We realize that when we're adults, but we can't see it when we're adults. But boy, the child sure lives his life that way. And then by the time we get to our adult years, we have almost lost the ability to be surprised. When you get to be a mature adult, you're hopeless. I mean, nothing rattles your cage. How many of you have said, I'm not surprised by anything anymore? Oh, we've all gotten there, haven't we? Because we have seen so much just in the last few years. That's why so many folks get older and they don't want to do anything. And they're just content to sit at home and pine away the hours. Now, just suppose that all of life were like that. Just suppose that all of life were, that nothing could surprise us anymore. That is when I think life becomes unbearable. And that is why you hear the phrase, oh, what a crotchety old man. Oh, what a grouchy old lady. Why? Because you're not surprised by anything anymore. And everybody looks at their spouse when I just said that. That's amazing. Am I right on track here or what? You see, the element of surprise is gone. It's gone. So I think if we could know what tomorrow is going to bring, number one, I think we would lose the element of surprise. Let me show, secondly, I think we would lose our spirit of vigorous alertness. If we knew what tomorrow was going to bring, and we knew that tomorrow was just going to be an ideal day, no problems, no heartache, no headache, no trouble, everything's just going to be smooth sailing tomorrow, we wouldn't have our guard up, would we? We wouldn't have our guard up. If we knew what tomorrow held for us, we might let our guard down and not be aware, not be as sharp, not be as keen, not be as alert as we should be. Now, let me illustrate what I mean. Suppose a blue jay or a robin, any kind of wild bird, flew into your window. And you heard the sound and you thought, what in the world was that? So you went outside and there on the ground was a bird. Now, I'm using this illustration because this happened to me when I was a kid. What I'm going to share with you is something that I did when I was a kid. We had a cage, and a bird flew into our picture window. It was a blue jay. And I went outside, and that blue jay, it rung his bell. Boy, I'm telling you, he was laying there. I mean, it just rung his bell. And I picked that blue jay up. And I took it downstairs and put it in that cage. And a couple hours later, that bird was fine. I mean, he was just as fine as he could be. Now, we let the bird go. My mom wouldn't let me keep the bird. But let's say that every day you cared for that bird. Every day you fed, you gave it water until that bird learned that its food was certain. It knew that you were going to take care of it. Do you know what would soon happen? Soon that bird is going to have its instincts dulled. Once it was wild and it had to go search for food for itself every day. If it didn't go and find food, it would eventually starve. And so everything that bird did was guided by its instincts, by its hunger. But in captivity, it learns that you are going to provide it with food and water, and so it depends on you. You walk into the room in the morning and the bird starts jumping and singing with excitement because it knows that you have come into the room to take care of it. And folks, that is exactly what would happen to us if we knew what tomorrow held. You see, I need to be alert to the will of God for my life. And that's what James is saying here. He's saying, listen, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring. So you should not say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to such and such a city and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to stay there and I'm going to go into this business and I'm going to make X amount of money. And James said you'd be wise not to say something like that, but instead say, if it's the will of God, this is what I want to do. In other words, the will of God is more important than anything else in your life, so far as tomorrow is concerned. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know I'm to be in the will of God tomorrow. That's his point. You see, I don't need a soothsayer. I just need a Bible and the Holy Spirit guiding and directing my heart. I need to be alert to the will of God for my life. I don't need to just have a satisfying life. I want to live my life responsive and alert towards God. If I knew what was coming tomorrow and I knew that there would be no problems to solve and nothing that I had to rely upon God for, I might get lazy, forget the Lord, exercise no faith at all in the promises of God for him supplying my daily bread. If I knew what tomorrow held, I would lose the desire to watch and pray as the Lord Jesus said. Let's suppose that you could go up to New York City on a few days. Let's suppose that you decide to go to New York City for a few days on vacation. All right, now, you live here in Westminster. You live in Carroll County. And you're going to go to New York City for vacation. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but let's just say you're going to do it, all right? And you go to a travel agent. And you get a brochure that has all the sites, things that you can do in New York City. And you got 5 days. And so you sit down with that list of all the things that are there to do. And you map out your day and you plan your day. And you've got it all figured out. And so you go to New York City and you see all the sites. Now, can I tell you that if you do that in a 5-day period, you are probably going to see more of New York City than most New Yorkers see in a lifetime. That's true. They don't do the sightseeing stuff, the people that live in New York City. They don't do that. They stay away from the tourist traps. They don't do it. When I went up and preached for Pete Montoro, he said, do you want to go downtown? And I said, sure, I'll go with you. And so we met for breakfast and then we got on the subway and we went over into Manhattan. And we went here and we went there and, you know, see this and see that. And we saw Ground Zero and we saw the Empire State Building and we went to the big library that they have there. And he showed me a couple things in the library that he has found. And we got on the subway and started back towards his home. And he looked over and he said, well, I enjoyed this. And I said, yeah, I did too. He said, I hadn't seen that stuff in years. I said, well, Pete, you live here. He said, yeah, but he said, New Yorkers don't do this stuff. So you're going to see more of New York on your 5-day vacation than a guy that lives there. But now, let's suppose that there is a soldier who has been told to go to New York City to board a ship, and he is told when he gets there that he needs to just hang out for a few days because they're not ready yet for the ship to depart. Now, he might want to go see the Empire State Building, and he might want to go over to Ground Zero. He may want to go down on Fifth Avenue and walk from one end of it to the other. But I'll guarantee you that soldier is alert. You know why he's alert? Because his ship commander has his cell phone number. And when that ship is ready to go, they're going to give him a buzz. And he had better be on that ship. He's probably got the cell phone in his hand because he doesn't want to miss the call. He's alert. So while he might be doing the sightseeing thing, he is nevertheless ready to go. And you should know that it should be the same way with every Christian. We just ought to be alert. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. It may be that tomorrow morning you'll wake up and your world will crumble right before your very eyes. And you better be alert. And if we knew what tomorrow would bring, and we knew that tomorrow was going to be a great day, we wouldn't be in touch with the Lord and start the day the way every day should be started. Do you understand what I'm saying? Number three, I'll move on. Number three, I think number three, we would lose the tenderness of love. If we knew what tomorrow was going to bring, we would certainly still love, but we might lose the tenderness of love. But love keeps its tenderness under the haunting shadow of uncertainty, doesn't it? If you knew your spouse was going to heaven in 10 years from today, you might not be as tender-hearted today as what you would be 1 week before that 10 years is up. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, so we ought to be tender today. I mean, there may not be time to be tender and loving-hearted tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. If we are living under the uncertainty of tomorrow, we will love tenderly today. But if we knew everything that was coming, then love would probably be taken for granted. If we knew everything, love would be too easy. If we knew everything, we would be brokenhearted, or maybe we would be unconcerned. So God made us so that we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Now listen, if you knew your child was going to die next January, don't you think it'd be difficult to discipline them today? Huh? You'd say, listen, it doesn't matter. Let him have his way. It doesn't matter. Let her do what she wants to do. If we knew what tomorrow held. So I say to you that it is far better that we do not know, folks. It is far better. It is better in the interest of love. It makes us stronger not to know the worst that could be just around the next corner. It makes us stronger not to know the worst that could be just beyond the next sunset or the next sunrise. It makes us more tender not to know what tomorrow might bring forth. And then number four, lastly, we would lose much of our trust in God. If we knew what tomorrow was going to bring, suppose you were facing surgery tomorrow morning. Suppose you were going under the knife tomorrow. Well, I guarantee you tonight you'd be a little nervous, especially if it was something serious. You'd be a little nervous, wouldn't you? Gravely concerned. You'd be praying. You'd be saying to all of your friends here at church, hey, I'm having surgery tomorrow morning. Would you please pray for me? Pray for me, would you? I mean, you'd have the church praying for you. Why? Well, because all the medical schools in the world cannot tell you what tomorrow's surgical results will be. They call it practicing medicine for a reason. Huh? Yeah, I know all about that. I know all about that. I mean, if we could see tomorrow and know that it will all turn out fine, would we pray? If we could stand right here tonight and see tomorrow and know that everything tomorrow is going to turn out all right, would we pray? I don't think we would. If you were facing surgery tomorrow morning, but yet you had the ability to look into tomorrow and see that everything was going to be fine, would you pray about your surgery tomorrow? No. You'd say, it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. Would you trust in the Lord and go down into your prayer closet and pray for mercy and grace? I doubt it, seriously. You already know what the outcome's going to be. So where would be the place for trusting in God if we could know what tomorrow is going to bring? Where would it be? There may be many things that make it hard for us to trust in God, but the shrouded tomorrow makes it easy. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, so I've just got to trust in the Lord. And oh, by the way, so do you. Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for you. So you just got to trust the Lord that He's in complete control. I'm saying, folks, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad we don't. I'm glad we don't. Not knowing keeps me looking to the Lord for tomorrow. It strengthens my faith today. And it keeps me trusting. And it keeps me reading the Word. And it keeps me praying. It keeps me reminded that I should love my wife. And I should love my children and I should love my grandchildren so that when I'm gone, they will remember how much I love them. It was a Sunday night. And we, Karen and I, had just come back from South Carolina. I worked as a youth pastor for a little while, but I couldn't stand teenagers. They drove me nuts. I love them now, but I don't have to work with them now. But back then, mercy. They're strange birds. You know that? Strange little creatures. And We moved back. The plan was to go to central West Virginia and start a church from scratch. And while we were getting that all arranged, we were living with Karen's dad and stepmother. We went to church on this Sunday with my mom and dad. And we came home after church and Mom fixed something to eat. My brother was in school working on his master's. My sister was in her freshman year. So it was just me, Mom, Dad, and Karen. And we were suspecting. That was really the first day that we thought that we might be having a baby. And sure enough, Karen was expecting our firstborn. And we told Mom and Dad that we weren't 100% sure, but we're pretty sure that we're going to have a grandchild. Oh, they were so happy. They were so excited. And after we ate a little bite, we went in the living room and sat down. And we were watching TV and talking, and Mom dozed off on the couch, which she did all the time. And so we didn't think anything of it. She dozed off on the couch. And about 10 o'clock, I looked over and I said, well, you ready to go? And Karen said, yeah. So we got up and we tried to just sneak out. We said goodbye to Dad. He was awake. But we tried to just sneak out so as not to wake Mom up. But she heard the door, and I was down the steps. We lived on a hillside. Of course, everybody in West Virginia lives on a hillside. And you go down the steps onto a sidewalk, and then another set of steps onto another sidewalk, and then you walk down that sidewalk like that, down to another set of steps, which took you down on road level. We were halfway down the sidewalk, and I heard the door open, and Mom stepped out on the porch, and she said, are you going to leave without giving me a hug and a kiss goodbye? And so I stopped in mid-tracks, and I turned around, and I said, no, ma'am. And up those steps I bounded. I was a lot younger then. And I ran up the steps, and I grabbed her, and I hugged her, and I kissed her. And she said, I love you, honey. And I said, I love you too, Mom. Little did I know that that would be the last time that I would talk to her on this earth. The next day, she went out into eternity. She went to heaven. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I cannot tell you how many times I am thankful. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt how much that woman loved me. There is no doubt in my mind. And I cannot tell you how many times through the years where I have stopped and thought, wow, I got that last I love you in. And not only that, I heard the last I love you that she said to me. Folks, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But you do know the one that holds tomorrow. So live for him today, and tomorrow will take care of itself.